Well, here we are on the last Sunday of the church year. As I've said before, I like the church year, and I'm perfectly happy that it doesn't match up with the other calendar. I don't think it has spectacular value in and of the fact that it doesn't match up, but the fact that it is its own thing is pleasing to me for a number of reasons, not least of which it reminds us that what we do here is different than the secular calendar would suggest, although obviously we overlap at some times. Well, they overlap with ours, starting next week and moving into Christmas and at some other times of the year. But the final Sunday of the church year is the Reign of Christ Sunday, or sometimes called Christ the King Sunday, either way. And as I was thinking about this, particularly in light of what's been going on in the macro world, like the world at large, and in my own personal world, the question that came to me is, what kind of reign is this? When we think of a reign, when we think of the kingly or queenly command of a region, we think of a place where everything that happens, happens at the pleasure of the sovereign. And we don't think so much of our current situation with Queen Elizabeth II, where honestly there isn't a whole lot of times that she's likely to tell us what to do, and I'm not even sure she could make it stick in this whole constitutional monarchy thing. We think of kings and queens from hundreds or thousands of years ago, when they had the right of your life, limb, happiness, and everything else. Kings and queens set laws that needed to be obeyed, or they had whims that needed to be obeyed, and if you didn't obey them, you might end up in jail or enslaved or dead. So when we think of a reign, we think of the person who has the reign is the person who decides everything that happens, and what does happen happens because that's the way they want it. And we think of this past week or so, and we think, if this is the reign of Christ, why do we have things like the terrorist attacks in Kenya, in Lebanon, in France? Why do I have conversations with some of my younger coworkers who say things like, I think I'm too young to have lost both my dad and my father-in-law? And my only response is, yes, you are too young. When we think of a reign, when we think of a ruler, we think of someone who makes everything happen the way that they say they're going to in every detail. And maybe they're not perfect at it, but that's what we think. And so when we think of the reign of Christ, we tend to think in terms of what we read or what was read for us out of Revelation. A king in a very geopolitical sense, where only those things happen that are supposed to happen and nothing else. We think of a king that will enforce the rules. And that's what really is at the heart of some of our difficulties. Because whether we explicitly know it or not, government rule of all sorts is based on force. We might not like that very much, but it is. Obey the rules, obey the laws, or we'll do something about it. We'll give you a fine if you're driving too fast. We'll throw you in jail if you do things that are worse. And so people obey not necessarily because they want to, but because most of us don't have money to throw away on fines. And I've never met anybody who wanted to go to jail. And we think that's what a king should be like, forcing the right things to happen. And if that's what a king's like, where's this reign we should be talking about? Well, the problem is that if we want a king like that, we've fallen into the same trap, if you will, that the first century Jews did. Because their view of a king was very much like that. Their view of a king was David. The type, the exemplar of what it meant to be a king was David. And they expected their Messiah, the king who was to come, to be like that, only bigger and better. And they were wrong. And when we want a king to do exactly the same thing, we're just as wrong. We need a better description or a better understanding of reign, of kingship, and what it can mean. We understand the one pretty well. We just think of what it's like to live in a constitutional democracy like we do, only with an ultimate ruler who just decides things. Okay, that we can picture. We're glad we don't live under one, but we can understand that at least. But what if Jesus' reign is different than that? Scripture seems fairly clear on the basis of Revelation, challenging as it can be to interpret what's happening there, that at some point there will be a king more like that. But that's then. We don't know when then will be, and really doesn't make a lot of difference when it will be, because we're going to live the life we have now until that happens. But if that's not the picture that we should have of a ruler, of a king, then what is the right picture? Because if we have the right picture, then we might understand a little bit more about what this reign of Christ is actually about. Well, we're not the first people who have had these questions, and we're not even the first people who have wanted to ask that question from a perspective of honestly wanting to know rather than just trying to trap Jesus into making damaging admissions, which is what a lot of his conversations were with the religious leaders of his day. And for that, there's another very interesting text about the reign of Christ. It's actually found in Matthew. So it's not part of our lectionary texts, proving once again that I'm not handcuffed by the lectionary. I just really like it a lot. And if we look in Matthew chapter 11, we have an interesting exchange or interchange between John the Baptist, who is currently in jail, and Jesus. And John the Baptist, as you may recall, was called by God to prepare the way for Jesus, for Messiah. That was his job. And when John was in jail, because he had a certain amount of struggle, I would expect, with what Jesus was like as a king and what a real king might be, as he would have thought perhaps, as he was in jail, I don't think this matched up with what he was thinking, that he would prepare the way for the Messiah and then be incarcerated, I'm sure was not on his idea of a preferred future, as I think we say now. And we read, beginning in chapter 2, when John the Baptist, heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" So John is asking Jesus point blank, "Are you the Messiah?" He's not using this exact language, but this is exactly what it means. "Are you the Messiah, or do we need to continue waiting? Because we've been waiting for a long time. Yeah, we're good at waiting. We might not like it, but we've been waiting for centuries now, and if we need to wait some more, that's okay. But I was pretty sure that you were the one I was called to open the way for, or prepare the way for, so what's up?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." John asked, "Are you this king we've been waiting for?" And Jesus didn't say, "Yes, I am the king," in those words. He didn't say, "Yes, the reign that you were sent to prepare the way for is here," in those words. But what he said was, "Yes, I am." Because when we look at what the reign of God looks like, we don't see a lot of palaces, even though David had one. We don't see armies, even though David and the other kings had them, and every other king we've ever known has had an army, and most queens have had armies as well. But Jesus is saying that, no, this is what means that God is among you. This is what demonstrates that I am here in power. Not that I have armies, not that I have laws, not that I have regulations that you must follow, but that the blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are cured, the deaf hear, dead are raised, and and the good news is preached to the poor. And he's not saying it's preached only to the poor, but when you preach to the poor, everybody hears. He's saying the good news is being preached, but not in some kind of special way just to rich people or just to those who deserve it, whatever that means, but to everyone. Jesus is saying that, yes, the reign of God is here, and I brought it in, and this is how you recognize it. Not because there's a new flag, not because there's a new pledge of allegiance or a new anthem, but because the things that really matter are happening. Because what God wants to do in this world isn't run it from a perspective of control, but to heal it, that we might become who we were created to become. We don't understand everything about the reign of Christ any more than we understand everything about God. There are things about it that we find troubling. We find terrorist attacks troubling. People dying before their time, troubling, and it should trouble us. But one of the things that God promised to bring was that force of healing and wholeness into the world. He didn't say that when Messiah comes, you will be prevented from doing evil. When Messiah comes, wholeness comes with him. The opportunity to be healed comes as well. But it's an opportunity we have to pick up and we have to work with. And we don't like that. We prefer to be told exactly what to do. We would prefer that things be arranged exactly as we want them to be, forgetting our own limitations, our own inability to make wise decisions for everyone. We think we know what would be best, but how many times have each of us thought we knew what was best and then realized that no, what actually did happen was best? And often we never even imagined it as a possibility, and yet that was what God used to bring wholeness within us, or the people for whom we were praying, those people that we love. The reign of Christ is as real as any other reign has ever been. But when we look for it in geopolitical kinds of things, when we look for it in laws that match up with what we think laws should look like, we won't see it because we're looking in the wrong place. It's as if I wanted to know how many people were here this morning, but I turned my back on you. How could I know? If you look in the wrong place, you'll never find what you're looking for. And when John asked Jesus, "Are you the one that I prepared for, or should we keep waiting?" Jesus said, "Oh yes, you can see it every time you see someone healed. Every time the good news is proclaimed anywhere, even to the poor, you know that I was the one who came, who needed to come to bring in the reign of Christ." I suspect John, at least in the early days, wanted that kind of king, much like the emperor of Rome, only better, only on his side, just like we do. But for whatever reason, a gracious God has continued to allow us to make choices and to make decisions. And he's promised guidance that we might make good ones, but if we turn our backs on that guidance, we're not forced to behave as the kingdom people that we want to be. We're given the opportunity to extend the reign of Christ in these ways, but not in the ways of militarism or force, but in the ways of bringing healing and wholeness. Which means that every time you respond with a kind word, when an angry word came to mind first, you are extending the reign of Christ. We are part of this reign. We don't do it perfectly. And I suspect that's why we have the Reign of Christ Sunday every year, to remind us that yes, it is here, but it will be even more here later. First, as we continue to bring Christ into all of our interactions, into all of our relationships, as we work towards wholeness and peace and healing rather than division and injury, we extend the reign of Christ in ways that become unmistakable, even if they don't look like they're ever going to take over the same way that a military force might. The reign of Christ is as real now as it was when he came to earth, and as real as it will be at the end of all things. And it's there for us to see. We see it in those acts of kindness. We see it in those moments of grace that are extended to us or that we see extended to others, or we see it in ourselves when we rise above our own desires, our own needs even sometimes, and give to those who need more. I don't understand everything about why we have refugees, why we have conflict as we do, but I do know that God has said over and over in Scripture that I am there. That he's promised the Holy Spirit to be with us at all times and to be everywhere, bringing comfort and encouragement, providing those things that we have to have to demonstrate the reality of the reign of Christ within us. Of course, it would have been possible for Jesus to inaugurate a reign that was one of force, where we were prevented from doing wrong, or where we were instantly judged for every sin. But I'm glad he didn't. Tempting as it is, as I've said before, I often have wished that the Bible was written just for each of us, and every morning you opened it up and it told you what to do all through the day. But there's no choice then. There's no humanity in that. God has given us the respect and honor to allow us to make bad choices, but has also given us the ability and the power to rise above those choices, to make good choices and to bring healing and wholeness into a life and into a world that is fallen. I don't know what we're called to do in this current crisis of refugees. I don't have a word from God that says, St. Mark shall do this. What I do have is a deep confidence that each of us will do what is best in our own circles. That we will reach out to bring healing and wholeness wherever we can. And as we're open to the Holy Spirit's guidance, we will see new places that we can make a difference. And every time we do, we demonstrate again that Christ is King. The reign of Christ, which one day will be inescapable, will be so obvious that no one can deny it, is just as real now. We end this church year with all kinds of bad things going on in the world. And probably each of us on our own individual scale and the people we know have bad things happening there too. But what we also have is the unshakable confidence that when Christ came to bring what really matters, he did. That the reign of Christ is something that is for us now, not just in the future, and that we can be part of making it even more obvious, even more comprehensive every day. Amen.